You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord. This past week, I was having chapel with our preschoolers, and we were talking about the Magi. And I was talking with them, just like in the children's sermon here, about where did the Magi come from? They came from the east, is all we know from Matthew. So other than that, you kind of have to do some investigating and some hypothesizing. Some people say they came from what would have been ancient Babylon, modern-day Iraq. Others say they came from what we now call Iran, the ancient lands of the Empire of Persia and the Medes. Others say India. And some have argued even as far as China. All places where learned people would have studied the stars. One of the preschoolers raised their hand and said, "Maybe they came from California." I mean, it is far east from the Holy Land. And we chuckled, the teachers and I, imagining the wise men journeying from the ancient Americas. But, you know, it got me thinking. Those ancient societies that lived in the Americas, the Aztec, the Maya, and the Inca, were also known for observing the stars, especially the Inca in the Andes Mountains. They were an advanced society in many ways. The other day, I was talking to a retired biology professor from Chafee that I met through the tea gardens. And he was telling me about how the Inca would farm potatoes. He said, when you have to farm in the mountains, you can never predict what the weather is going to be like. And so the Inca were known to plant several varieties and species of potatoes in their farms because they never knew if it would snow or if there would be a drought or if it would be raining or scorching heat or humid. And so they would have varieties of potatoes, and so they were able to feed their empire. The professor went on to say, we have something to learn. In the Western world, we tend to plant just one kind of plant row after row after row, called a monoculture. He said an example of when this failed tragically would be the potato famine of Ireland. They did export potatoes from the Americas to Ireland, but they only planted one kind. And it's true, whenever we depend on one kind of a thing, it's tempting, especially if it's a plant that grows really well and it can be really strong. But if you only depend on that one thing, if it's wiped out by a plague or a change in the climate, as a population, we're vulnerable. That's the flip side of having a monoculture, a singular culture of plant. Think about investing. The same wisdom applies. You don't put all of your assets in one thing, because if the market turns, you're exposed to risk. So the idea is to diversify. Sometimes I worry about our world. When you consider the news that we hear, there's a tendency to be going in this direction of really just privileging one sort of dominant way of being in the world, a cultural viewpoint, and marginalizing those who are different. Right now, if we listen to the news, we see this happening all over the world. In China, Uyghur Muslims are being rounded up and terrible things done to them because they are seen as a threat to the dominant way of living in China. Also in India, a Hindu way of looking at the world is dominating, and again, Muslims are being marginalized. But it's not just them. We know that in the Holy Land and in other places in the world, Christians, when they're the minority, they can die because of their faith, being martyred even still today. And of course, on the news over these holidays was an alarming spike in anti-Jewish hate crimes, especially in New York. All over the globe, there's this tendency to privilege the dominant way, the dominant culture of a given place, and to marginalize those that might be different. And the problem is, when we do that, it doesn't strengthen us, it weakens us. But there's a solution that you may not expect me to say, but it's this: baptism. Baptism is a sacrament given to us by God that actually preserves, affirms, and helps the diversity of people and creation and cultures in our world. When a person receives the gift of baptism, God claims them and loves them unconditionally. It doesn't matter what their skin color is, what their language is, what country they're from. In baptism, we proclaim God's unconditional love and forgiveness for that person. Through baptism, we see that God values diversity of people thinking and living. That's why the Magi came to Jesus. They were from a different language and cultural group. They were not Jewish. They were not Semitic. They were not from there. But they were led by this star to a king that would love them just the way they are. The Word of God made flesh in Jesus Christ. That is the gift of baptism for us. We see that God loves unconditionally. After the Magi came and presented themselves to Jesus, they went back and they shared this good news far and wide. And so that the traditions of the Magi, there's dozens of stories and traditions and legends of where they went and how they shared the good news of Jesus Christ in many different places, languages, and cultures. If we want to experience that love of God, that unconditional gift, there is a formula that we follow in baptism. If you've ever noticed, our baptismal font has 8 sides, and that's the traditional way of building a baptismal font because there are 8 steps in baptism. And it just so happens that in this season of Epiphany that we begin today, this time after Christmas, there are 8 weeks. And so we're going to talk about 8 different things that baptism is about and how it is a blessing from God for us. And the first one that we read about today from the example of the Magi is the presentation. Anytime we do a baptism, the first thing we do is we present the person who is going to be baptized. You just say your name. If it's an adult, who are you? And the person says, my name is Wesley Menke, and I want to be baptized. If it's a child, a baby, the parents or the godparents say, we present. I was at a baby shower yesterday, friends of ours, and they said, we want you to come back for the baptism. That baby's name is going to be Oscar Hovland. So someday, soon, they're going to say, we present Oscar Hovland to be baptized. The 3 Magi, the present that they give is themselves. They present themselves. They present themselves to Jesus. And Jesus loves and accepts them unconditionally, freely giving them eternal life. We have such a powerful gift in baptism. Each of us should remember that we should daily present ourselves to God. When you come forward for communion, you are invited to come forward and present yourself to God, to kneel down and pay homage to God, who we know through Jesus Christ, and you receive the gift of communion. And I invite you to come forward in this service when we have communion to present yourself to God. If you are not baptized, talk to me, and we would love for you to have that gift, to know the unconditional love of God. If you have friends or family members or neighbors who are not baptized, invite them to know the saving love of God through baptism, that God loves and accepts you just the way you are, with all of the unique things that make you, you. So in the season after Epiphany, the season after Christmas, we will continue to explore these gifts and these steps that make baptism such a powerful sacramental gift in our lives. Starting today, I invite you to present yourselves to God. Let us pray. Holy God, help us to present ourselves to you as the Magi did. For those who are not baptized, help us to share the good news of Jesus Christ that can be given to all people through baptism. You value each and every creature you have made in each of our uniqueness, and you affirm us. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast. And if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.